You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 33. And we're going to be talking today about something that I absolutely love for a success strategy for any entrepreneur, any business owner, any leader. Hey, really anybody can benefit from it. And it's mastermind groups. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact? Boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hello, everyone. Melanie Benson here. And I am so excited to have our guest today. We're doing a special edition today with a guest expert because we're going to talk about leveraging your impact and your income with a mastermind group. And I have to tell you my own personal experience. I've been in mastermind groups since I was 24 years old. And of course, they've changed in the way the mastermind groups are run, the type of mastermind group I looked for over the years. But one thing either makes or breaks you, and that is the type of people you're around. And a mastermind group can be one of those intimate, powerful, really I've got your back type of groups that will help you scale your impact, really be able to achieve more, and shortcut a lot of the success strategies that you can take to grow. So let me tell you a little bit about our guest expert who's joining us here today. I'm bringing on Karen Greenstreet. Now, Karen is a small business consultant and a mastermind group expert, the owner of the Success Alliance, a website that's devoted to helping people start and grow their own mastermind groups. And she's been creating and running mastermind groups since 1994, teaches classes on starting and facilitating mastermind groups as well. And she's helped numerous individuals, chambers of commerce, and professional associations to create powerful, valuable groups. And I have known Karen for years and years and years and years and years and years. I don't even remember where we first connected, but we've been Facebook friends for a very long time and have always watched and admired what she's doing with teaching people how to leverage the power of a mastermind group. So Karen, thanks so much for joining in the conversation today.
Oh, Melanie, I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. Well, you know, I actually think the very first mastermind group I was in was tied to a spiritual community I was involved in, and it was based on Napoleon Hill's work. And then later, I started to realize that mastermind groups were all over the place, but they meant wildly different things to different people. And so what I thought a mastermind group wasn't necessarily what other people thought a mastermind group was. So I thought it'd be really awesome to maybe kind of shine the light on why we need a mastermind group, why a mastermind group can help us accelerate the impact we want to make with our clients, and just get into some of the fun stuff about setting them up. So why don't we start with what a mastermind group really is?
Well, a mastermind group is a group of like-minded people who are dedicated to helping each other create success, however they individually define success. We don't want to foist our opinion about what success is on another person, but for people who are looking to grow personally, grow professionally, people who know they have more potential in them and they just can't wait to get moving on that, then a mastermind group is a perfect place to work, because we have found that self-help, trying to do it on your own, works just so far, and then you hit a brick wall. And the fact is that in a mastermind group, you meet in structured meetings, and each person has an opportunity to get into what we call the hot seat, which is they bring their situation, their case, to the, you know, their challenge, their problem to the group. And the group focuses on them and brainstorms with them and shares best practices and helps them to make good decisions and helps them to create great action plans and gives them resources and basically shortcuts the learning curve tremendously. So a true mastermind group is one where a person gets into the hot seat on a regular basis, because that's where the real juicy stuff happens. And so, of course, the whole idea of a mastermind group is these people work together to help each other to move forward faster than they could on their own. The facilitator, the person that runs the group, their job is to make all that magic happen. They have to know a lot about group psychology. They have to know about creating success. Often they're an expert in their field on whatever the topic of the group is. So you've got a lot of dynamics, a lot of balls that have to be juggled, basically, plates spinning in air. And so the facilitator makes all that happen. And if they're good, they make it all happen in a way that looks effortless.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up the facilitator role, because I think a lot of people don't understand the dynamics that get created in a powerful mastermind. Because of course you're going to have strong people who have a lot of energy and have a lot of input. So you having a good facilitator, I think, can make or break the experience. And I'm wondering, is that maybe part of the distinction too between a free group that maybe casually people get together in mastermind versus a paid group that someone might invest in?
Exactly. One of the things we find is that in free groups, and I've been part of free groups that have been extremely successful, but it requires an intense amount of commitment. And it requires that everyone in the group really wants to work at the same level and really wants to excel at the same level. And that's really hard to put together. However, we find that when people pay to be in a mastermind group, they're much more committed. They're much more dedicated to the process. They're much more willing to keep going when they hit a challenge in their life where they're being asked to grow and change and take themselves to the next level. In a free group, they're like, oh yeah, that's too hard. I'm going to leave. You know, instead of facing my own demons, I'm just going to walk. Whereas in a paid group, you're thinking, oh, wait a minute, if I walk, it's going to cost me. And so a lot of people are much more committed in a paid group than a free group. Also, the paid group pays for the facilitator, and that person is highly trained, highly skilled, and they're the ones that are they're the glue that are going to hold the group together. And so if you really want to work with someone who knows what they're doing, not just in managing the group and helping everyone be successful, but also typically they're an expert in their field as well, then you're going to have to pay for that because that person's time is extremely valuable and you want to be connected to them.
Yeah, I love what you have just created context around in terms of the investment we make, not just in the group, but in the facilitator who's probably done a lot of work to get to the point that they can run that group.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is, you know, Napoleon Hill back in the early, like the 1930s, talked about this concept of a mastermind alliance. And he had a particular concept of what a mastermind group was. And he didn't really talk about hot seats and things like that. He was basically talking about a group of people who are working harmoniously together to achieve a goal, whatever that is. And then over the past 70, 80, 90 years, we have morphed that into a mastermind group. And there are traditional groups and there are kind of more creative groups. And there are no mastermind group police. No one can tell you how to run your group. But there are some principles that I think are important.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit more about the different kind of groups, because this is probably one of the biggest questions. When somebody finds out I run a mastermind, they ask me a lot of questions about the kind of mastermind, because I think the mastermind word has gotten maybe a little distorted. It's used a lot, like coaches. And right. So it has different meanings to different people. So tell me a little bit about the types of groups you're aware of out there that may be labeled mastermind.
Okay. Well, there's a ton. A traditional mastermind group is where each person gets into the hot seat in each meeting. And therefore, every meeting you get value out of that meeting personally, as well as you're there to help the other people and they're there to help you. There's a lot of other things that can happen in a mastermind group. There's usually a lot of accountability that happens. There are some people that do a lot of exercises and assessments and things. Some mastermind groups are tied to a training course. So you take the training and the mastermind group helps you to implement what you learned in the training. So there's several types of what I would call traditional mastermind groups. Then there are other kinds of mastermind groups, which are really more like group coaching. You may or may not get a hot seat, but you work with the facilitator, with the leader, with the coach, and everybody else listens in, but the other people don't get to chime in with their ideas and their suggestions and their insights and their clarifying questions. And so it might be great to work with that coach, but you're kind of missing out on the opportunity to work with the whole group of people. Some mastermind groups, you only get to the hot seat once a year. And so imagine you're going to sit there for a whole year and go, when am I going to talk about my business? So for me, the value of a mastermind group is that you have, you get into the hot seat on a regular basis where everyone's focused on you. You have a skilled facilitator who can help you personally as well as help the group. And you meet on a regular basis for fairly good length of time, you know, 90 minutes, 2 hours, 4 hours, 8 hours, you know, a weekend, and not just, you know, 15-minute check-ins. Although I have no problems with 15-minute check-ins between meetings, but that the meetings have to be kind of meaty and really chocked full of strategic tips and insights and calling you on your limiting beliefs and calling you on the places where you're kind of falling down. If you really want people to hold your feet to the fire, then a mastermind group is perfect for you. If you really don't want to be scrutinized, then probably a mastermind group isn't right for you. But then again, neither would be working with a coach or a consultant, because any of those things are gonna ask you to be vulnerable and step out and say, here's where things are not going so good, and here's where I could use some help.
Yeah, and I think what I've heard hearing you say, which I've also noticed, is the big difference is group coaching really lands on the expertise of one person, like the leader, the coach, the mentor
right.
that you're with. And it can involve some masterminding, but there's a lot of, like, you know, the coach themselves holding the space. And then the big distinction is a mastermind is really tapping into the power of the collective group. And
yes.
The group tends to have more back and forth interaction and holding accountability. So it doesn't rely on just one person.
And typically that group extends itself past a meeting. So between meetings, there's usually a lot of conversation, whether it's on a message forum or like a Facebook group or a LinkedIn group, or whether it's just people calling each other. There's a lot of ongoing support so that when you have a problem, you immediately take it to your mastermind group and you get an answer fairly quickly. Whereas some mastermind groups, there is no communication between meetings. So you have to hold it until a month or 2 months or however often the meeting is. So that's one of the distinctions that some of the groups have. And of course, in group coaching or some of the larger mastermind groups, it is that one-on-one interaction with the person who's leading the group. And you're not tapping into the power of many minds. Mm-hmm. The other piece of it is sometimes the groups are so large, you really feel lost in a crowd. So if you're in a group and you feel like you're just a number, you feel like you're lost in a crowd, you feel like you're not getting the attention that you need for what you paid, you're probably not in a mastermind group.
Yeah, I love that you're bringing that up, because I think that's a distinction point that some people are not clear on when they get into a mastermind, especially, you know, if it's 100 or 200 people. And so you'll want to really understand how that coach or mentor is supporting people individually or not at all, and make sure you're getting the pieces that you need and want at your stage of growth. And one of the things that I've seen a lot is people who are newer in business tend to need more help and guidance. And people who are more sophisticated or more, their business has been around longer, they may need less one-on-one time, but they get a lot of value from the group. So sometimes it just depends on where you're at in your business's growth, right?
And a lot of times I recommend to people who are starting mastermind groups or joining a mastermind group that they, if they're new to anything, I don't care if you're writing your first novel or you're starting a new business or you're launching a new product that you maybe never did before, so it's new to you, even though you have an existing business, or I don't know, you're starting on a new career path, or you're, I don't know, getting ready to retire, something new. Those folks need a lot of training. So I love to see those people be served by a mastermind group that includes a training component, whether the training class is first and then the mastermind group is a follow-on, or whether training is embedded in every meeting, that they get that education that they need because they're new and they really need help. Often those groups will meet more often. They might meet once a week or once every other week, because when you're new, a lot of stuff comes up and it comes at you quickly. If you're a more seasoned professional or more seasoned in the kind of topic that you want to get into a group around, or you want to start a group around, you might not only need to meet like once a month or even once a quarter. Maybe your meetings are longer, but you're looking to go deeper, because things don't happen as crazily. There's not all this stuff that's coming up every single moment of every single day like a new person would experience. But the stuff that's coming up for you is strategic. It's big picture. These are longer discussions you need to have. And so you want to be in an experienced group. And maybe you don't need to meet as often, but you need to be able to meet for longer times and go deeper.
Yeah, that's good advice. I tend to go to a hybrid model myself. Like I've run a lot of different kinds of groups over the years. But for me, I think what I've landed in is this hybrid of there's a training, and there's a way that people can ask questions on the training, and then there's a higher level of the group that can self-select into that has the masterminding. And I think that tends to work out really well, because then people get the right support for the level they're at in their business. And
I love that.
I love masterminds, and I love the group experience, because people go, well, I don't know if I'm a group person, and I kind of like the individual, but something really powerful always happens in a group where you hear the very thing through someone else in the hot seat that you needed to hear. And it just always ends up being really amazing how people grow together. And even when they think that it may not be their best way they want to be coached.
I got to tell you, every single meeting, we do this thing that we call insights. And so at the end of the meeting, I'll say, tell me one thing you got from the meeting. And during the meeting, I am watching. So let's just say Joe is in the hot seat and everybody's brainstorming with Joe and helping Joe. But I'm watching everybody else taking notes because these people are in a similar situation, whatever Joe is talking about, half of them are also experiencing the same thing. And so when we do these insights at the end and I say, well, what did you get from the meeting? I'd say 50% of the people name something that they did not get from their own hot seat. It was something they learned from someone else's hot seat. That's why the person who puts together the group and the person who vets the members and tries to match them up really is looking for people who are in a similar situation, because then all of that synergy can happen that can't happen if there's a mismatch.
Yeah, so maybe let's talk about that a little bit more before I go into my next question, because I think there's a real talent in putting people together in a room and really vetting them properly. How does someone figure that out?
Well, it's complicated, as you can imagine, because people might think, well, I'm going to put all of the same kind of people in a group. And that can be a big mistake. So as an example, you might say, well, I'm going to take all my really introverted people and my linear people or my nerdy people, I'm going to put them in one group. And then I'm going to take all my creative, big picture, dreamer type people and put them in another group. And it's a mistake, because these folks can learn from each other. They might make each other crazy, and so a good facilitator knows how to manage that. But the introvert is a person who processes internally first and then talks, whereas an extrovert typically processes while they talk. And so they will make each other crazy, and the facilitator knows how to deal with that. But because they have different styles, they bring strengths to the other person that the other person doesn't have. So the creative person and the linear person, they're wonderful together, because, you know, if I'm the kind of person that I write to-do lists and I have checklists and I'm real linear, and then I have a person who thinks like big cloud thoughts, they're going to say to me, well, have you thought about X? And I'll be like, wow, never thought about that, because it's not the way my mind typically works. So our learning styles, our thinking styles, our action styles, our communication styles matter. And a facilitator understands all that and puts groups together where the group dynamic is going to be really, really energizing and powerful. And the only way to do that is to mix people up and also be able to manage the necessary friction that will happen to keep the harmony of the group while still creating this kind of explosion of ideas.
That's great. And I think having diversity is essential. I was just remembering in my leaders mastermind that I teach, which are people who are leaders, you know, either in their industry or in their business. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's really interesting is we do this little exercise helping people understand the way they process information. And this one guy who was really struggling to kind of get past some of his procrastination, he started to watch how the people who accelerated quickly thought. And the mastermind gave him this really safe place to study what other people who moved quickly were doing differently than him.
Interesting.
And you can't get that if it's everybody's the same. So I love this advice you're giving, that people have to really can benefit from having like diversity of thought, diversity of processing, even diversity of business, the type of businesses that we're in, because it's kind of like one of those things where you don't know what you don't know until you know it. Get out of your box, be with people who see the world differently than you.
Exactly. I find mastermind groups so amazing, because it takes everything to the next level. And for a lot of people, they know they have more potential inside of them. They know it. I mean, they feel it, they know it, they're certain of it, and they just don't know how to tap it. And that's why I encourage people who naturally love to work in groups would love a mastermind group. People who are a little hesitant about it, I say to them, listen, if you really want to really escalate yourself and whatever else your topic is that you're working on, but escalate you and to bring the fullness of yourself out, then a mastermind group is a perfect thing for you.
I have another question that's kind of dropping in that I think is so important to know the answer to. And that is, how do you know if you're in the wrong mastermind group?
Oh dear. Well, part of it is, how is the group acting with each other? Mm-hmm. If there is a lot of tension, if people are screaming at each other, that's a definite no. If the facilitator sort of lets the people in the group run the group for them and the facilitator doesn't create some structure, that's going to be a problem. If you find that you're not getting the answers that you need, if the people are too far behind you in their skill and knowledge set, that's a problem. And sometimes they're perfect for you to start with, but you escalate further than they do and you kind of outgrow them. So sometimes that happens. If you find yourself like resisting going to meetings, that's a sign. It's like, hello, you know, what is your gut telling you there? If the group is not holding your feet to the fire, if they're not being strong enough to say, well, you told us you were going to do this, what happened? In a kind and loving way, but they're going to still hold your feet to the fire. That's a problem as well. If they're not willing to step up and be strong and to tell you an uncomfortable truth, then that's not a right group for you. So those are some of the things that I would look for. I wrote a blog post on it, like, you know, how do you know when it's time for you to leave your mastermind group? And it's, you know, these concepts, because people do outgrow groups. I've been part of, I'd say, maybe 10 different mastermind groups. And when I outgrew them, I knew it was time. And then I would move on to sort of the next level. Because there are mastermind groups that are for newbies. There's mastermind groups that are for people who are somewhat experienced in whatever the topic is. And there's even mastermind groups for people who are master level at things and want to work with other people right there. So you can outgrow a group, or you might just get into a group that's not so good.
Yeah. And I think it's important to know all this, especially if you are going to host your own groups, because first of all, I think anybody who runs a mastermind group should be in a mastermind group, because you can't know the best way to run a group if you've never been held accountable this way. There's a lot that you learn from it. So that's one of my big things, is like, be in one so that when you run one, you know what both sides of the coin are like. But I think one of the things that happens is people tend to get into their resistances, they get into their fears, they get into their judgment, which is maybe more about their own self-judgment, and then it gets projected. So knowing when someone's outgrowing the group versus when they're resistant is a really vital insight for the person who hosts the group.
Yes, it's a real distinction, and you have to be able to know the difference, and you have to be willing to have sometimes uncomfortable conversations with a member to find out what's going on. You can't avoid it. So you've got to be brave, and you've got to be bold in order to lead these groups. And I don't mean like you're going to trample all over people, but you've got to be willing to say, I noticed this is happening, what's going on? And find out, is it them hitting up against their limits, or really is it time for them to exit the group because they're graduated?
That is a great distinction. And so it's making me curious now what your take is on the right time for someone to start their own mastermind group and be the host and facilitator.
Yeah, so obviously being in a group teaches you how to be a member. And one of the benefits you didn't mention is being in a group and being a member helps you to understand the benefits of a mastermind group. So when you start a group of your own and you have to write your marketing copy, all you have to do is tap your own experience and say, oh, when I was part of a mastermind group, I got this, this, and this out of it. And you can share your story with people. So it's really important. It's sort of like coaches have a coach, psychiatrists have to go see psychiatrists. You know, I mean, this is the way it works. So when you know it's time to start your own mastermind group, is first of all, one of the big ways that people do this is they're tired of working one-on-one with clients, or they've hit a glass ceiling about how much they can earn because they maxed out. I mean, when I was a coach working one-on-one with people, I did 30 clients a month. I mean, 30 clients a week, every week. It was exhausting. I mean, I loved it, but I burned out. It was like, I can't remember people's names, you know? And so if you're in that place, if you want to leverage your time, you know, people always say, well, we don't want to trade time for money. But the fact is, you have a certain amount of time and you have to figure out what to do with it. So it's not about worrying about, are you trading time for money? It's, are you leveraging the time you have to earn the most amount of income you can? And are you scalable? When you're working one-on-one with people, you're not scalable. At some point, you will max out. Whereas in a mastermind group, you can keep going. As a matter of fact, I know a lot of people, they run mastermind groups, they have so many going that they then hire facilitators to run some of their groups for them. So, and these, of course, their facilitators are trained in that person's signature system or that person's process. So these are skilled people as well. But if you want that for your business, if you have not been able to reach as many people as you want to reach, if you've not been able to impact as many people as you want to impact, then getting involved with creating your own groups can be helpful. Even if you are not in any of these situations, think about your current clients and ask yourself, would it be a value-added benefit to them to form my existing clients or my past clients into a mastermind group? So they still have one-on-one coaching or consulting or training meetings with you individually, but they also then have this group process. It's an incredible value to add to them, and you would be unique in doing that. And so it would make you stand out often from a very crowded coaching and consulting and training marketplace.
Yeah, those are great ideas. And I love this idea that we can leverage our time, but also leverage our impact. And I think this is where a lot of coaches and people who mentor or guide others, they get stuck, right? Because they can only see so many people or work with so many people before it kind of hits the wall of, I can't see any more people.
Exactly. Or you're just thinking, I keep saying the same thing. I keep having the same conversations with my one-on-one clients. And if I had these conversations in a group setting, multiple people could be learning at the same time. And so I wouldn't be limiting my sharing of my knowledge and my sharing of my skill set. And the other thing I really love, I mean, I'm an ICF trained coach, and so I know kind of the rules of coaching. And sometimes they can be restrictive because there's more to you than that. And so I found that, well, I wanted to wear my coach hat, but I wanted to wear my consultant hat. I wanted to wear my trainer hat. And so mastermind groups let me do all of those things, whereas coaching didn't let me because I felt like I had to stay in my lane as far as what the ICF thought was coaching. Now I can use all the tools in my toolkit. And so it's expanding your reach, reaching more people, having more impact, using the totality of who you are. Who wouldn't want that?
Yeah, good point. I think somebody at this point might be thinking to themselves, this is a brilliant idea. And whether you've been in them or this is a new idea, I think it could be helpful if we went through some of the steps of how do you start a mastermind group?
Sure. Well, the first thing, just like any business offering, you have to figure out what is the focus of my mastermind group? What's kind of the topic? What's the glue that's going to hold everybody together? I have seen people, you know, a lot of mastermind groups around business, starting a business, running a business, and that's common. I have seen people like executive coaches run mastermind groups for new managers or for leaders or for executives. I have seen people run mastermind groups, and this is funny, for people who want to get married but aren't dating anybody yet. Mm. They're not going to date each other in the mastermind group. They're trying to figure out strategically, how do you do this? How do you date? You know, especially maybe if they've been through a marriage before and they're trying to figure out this whole dating thing again, why not do it in a group? I've seen people do mastermind groups for people who are writing their first novel, for people who have children who have learning disabilities. I've seen people start mastermind groups on all kinds of topics. So first, pick your topic. The second thing is ask yourself, what kind of people do you want in this group? Not just their skill set and their knowledge set, but also their attitude and who they are as a person. You really want to make sure you have people who are go-getters. You want people who are passionate and excited about this topic, because you don't want to dud. You don't want someone who's thinking about it or kind of piddling around with it and playing with an idea, but they're never going to go forward because that brings down the energy of the group. So you really want to find people who are so excited about whatever the topic is that they really, really, really want to work on it. And then, of course, it helps if you look for people who have the same experience level. So you're not going to put a CEO in with a group of people who are like first managers, you know, first-time managers. It just doesn't work that way. It's great for the first-time managers. They love to have access to the CEOs, but it doesn't really help the CEOs very much. So you need to be able to segment your audience based on experience level or skill level so that you can help rise all of them to the next level, but that they're not getting help from the other people because they're already way above them. We talked earlier about leaving a mastermind group because you've graduated from it. Well, that's what I'm talking about. At some point, you are so far ahead of everybody else in that group that you now need to get in a group where you are the lower person in the group so that those people can help you rise.
Yeah. And I think that that's definitely one of those things that can work against both sides, because the people that are newer tend to get a little self-conscious and they tend to get into their, you know, like, okay, I don't feel valuable here. And then the person that's higher, I've been in groups like this where they feel like they're giving and not getting, so it gets out of balance. And so finding those, or niching out, or at least the levels, I think can really help keep the synergy growing.
Right. And I love the word balance. That really makes, that really captures it. You're trying to create this harmonious balance among the people when they may have disparate ways of doing things in the world and being in the world and projects that they're working on. And yet it can be lonely where they are. It's lonely being a small business owner. It's lonely being an executive. It's lonely being a parent with a child who has learning disabilities. It's lonely being a person who wants to get married and isn't dating anybody. And you're like, I need to be around people who are in my same situation, if only for the emotional support. But really what it is about, it's about being able to move further than you can on your own, and faster than you can on your own.
Yeah, definitely. Do you find there's a sweet spot for the size or number of people in a mastermind group?
Yes. This is one of those, it depends kind of question, okay, answers, you know. So let me give you the 30 second rule to it. Basically, it depends on how long your meetings are. So if your meetings are 4 hours and each person gets a 20-minute hot seat, you could have 20 people in your group. But if your meetings are, you know, 2 hours and each person gets a 35 or a 45 or an hour hot seat, then of course you have a limited number of people. So it's the combination of how long are your meetings and how often you meet. So as an example, right now I'm doing one mastermind group where we meet every other week. So even if there's, you know, 12 people in the group, six get in the hot seat 1 week, six get in the hot seat the next week. So each of them get in the hot seat once a month. I've seen other mastermind groups where they meet once a quarter, but they meet once a quarter for 3 days, right, live in person. They go somewhere lovely and they meet. Each person gets an hour hot seat through that time. They deep dive way into it, but they're together for 3 days to do that. So the point is the group large enough that you get enough ideas? So, you know, three people, how many ideas you're going to get from if it's you and two other people? So I would say minimum five. You also have to allow that some people just can't make a meeting. Something comes up. And so if you have four people and two people don't show up, what do you have? You know?
Yeah. Then you have a couple.
Yeah, exactly. And then on the other side, if you have 20 people all trying to brainstorm with you, it's a little overwhelming.
Yes.
The facilitator has to be incredibly skilled to manage a group that size. So I would say sweet spot for an individual meeting, probably 5 to 12 or something like that. I've done meetings with 20, and you can do it. And then of course, if you want to have multiple mastermind groups, then you need to, you might be able to say, okay, well, I will have 35 people in my mastermind group, but we will have 7 meetings of 5 people. And so that's a possible way of dealing with it if you have a larger audience you want to serve.
Yeah, I find for me, especially if it's a higher level group, higher level leaders and stuff, I'm finding the sweet spot's been around 8 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and what I'm noticing in the way you just set it up earlier, if you're more of a coaching group, you can go 20, 50, 100, but you just structure the hot seat time differently. Like I have a somebody that I go guest expert for their masterminds. So he
Right.
puts me in for his twice a year events. Mm-hmm. And he has 55 people in the mastermind day, but they don't all get a hot seat during the live event. It's kind of the tiered thing. And really they're doing 10-minute, 15-minute laser sessions. So again, I guess you're right. It just depends on what are you going to deliver and
right,
how,
exactly.
how much time are you giving them?
Right. So if you're going to start a mastermind group, or even if you're going to join a mastermind group, ask them, how often do I get in the hot seat? How long are each hot seat? Because you know, the longer the hot seat, the deeper you can go. Mm-hmm. I have found that surprisingly, 20 to 30 minute hot seats really are very valuable, incredibly valuable. Yes, we would all love an hour or 2 hour hot seat, although I think your head might just blow up.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think I want that much time with everybody in my head.
but 10 or 15 minutes is a laser hot seat.
Yes.
You're going to get some ideas, but you're probably not going to get solved. So you want to say, well, am I going to get in the hot seat, or just have to watch hot seats? And do you think that that would be valuable to you? I love this tiered approach from the business side. Because then the facilitator can have a larger group, and maybe the higher tier people are, you know, because they pay more, get into the hot seat, and the other people are sort of watching the hot seat. But from a consumer point of view, I would question, what am I going to get out of this group if I can't get into the hot seat? And is it really a mastermind group for me if I don't get in the hot seat? It's a mastermind group for them, but is it for me? Or is it really just me watching other people be in the hot seat. So it's kind of, you really have to ask some questions, both if you're designing it for yourself to run mastermind groups in your own business, and then also if you're looking to join one.
Yeah, and I love that we're ending this with really understanding, what do you need to go where you're supposed to go? What's the right mastermind group energy for you? Because there's lots of choices out there, and really you need to understand, do you feel resonance with the person who leads it? Is the group, the topic and the structure something that you can really commit to? And ultimately, are you willing to show up and play out 100%? Because that's really what has to happen, whether you're leading a mastermind, the people that you're bringing into your mastermind, or you're choosing to get into a mastermind. Because I've been leading mastermind groups for, I guess it's been like 15 of the 16 years that I've been in business now. And I got to tell you, it makes a huge difference when people show up fully. And if they're just kind of on the fence and they're not really in, it really drains the energy of the group. So that's a huge piece.
And for the facilitator, keeping your finger on the pulse of what is the energy of the group right now, not just this particular moment in this particular meeting, but overall, what is the trajectory of the group? And is anybody dragging it down? And what do I have to do to change that? Here's the cool thing is if you have someone who is maybe backing away a little bit or kind of letting the group do all the work and they're kind of, you know, hanging and just kind of chilling, you can change that behavior. So it's not the end of the world if that happens, but if it happens like from day one, that's going to be a problem. And that's the whole interviewing and vetting process. You really need to know what you're doing to find the right people so that that doesn't happen to start with.
You've just brought up one last thought, and I will end it here. I promise. Cause I know we're going to go a little over today, but this is so good. I would offer to somebody who is hosting a group and even in a group to be aware of somebody who's creating conflict or controversy, but to not necessarily see that as bad. You know, something really amazing can come from people who are not thinking the way everybody else is thinking. Now, obviously we want somebody who's, you know, not just a big trigger and running around making messes everywhere, but there is very massive breakthroughs in chaos and messiness that sometimes gets created. So that was a huge learning for me to be able to hold space for someone who didn't, you know, always fall into the rules and push the edges a little bit.
You don't want groupthink. You don't want everyone to align with each other just because they don't want to, you know, rock the boat kind of a thing. I mean, they have done studies where people who are in juries and the person who goes along with what the other people say, even though they don't agree whether the person's innocent or guilty, every single one of those people express remorse afterwards. They wish they hadn't done that. Mm-hmm. And so that's true in your life. If you're going to go along with what other people want and not what you know is right, and you're not willing to stick up for yourself and say, well, I know I'm thinking outside the box. I know I'm not thinking in alignment with a group, but I have a thought that I think is really important to share, that number one, the member feels safe in sharing that, even though it's outside the norm of what the group is saying. They feel safe in disagreeing. They may even be safe in pushing the envelope a little bit and kind of pushing the conversation, as long as the facilitator is confident enough to be able to manage that situation, it could be very juicy and very rich.
Yeah. Be willing to let it get a little messy and out of the box of the rules to create some gems. I love it. So Karen, this has been so rich, so full of great insight. And I'm imagining that if someone hasn't been in a mastermind group before or hasn't, let's say this, if they haven't been in a mastermind group before, they're probably really intrigued. And if they haven't led a group before, or maybe even looking for some tips to make their masterminds run better, do you have a resource that we could share with them today that would help them?
Yes, absolutely. I have a whole website devoted to how to start and run and excel mastermind groups. It's called The Success Alliance. And so the website is thesuccessalliance.com. On there, I have several free video tutorials. So if you go there, right on the main page, you'll see the main video tutorial, which is it's called Speed Up Growth, and it's all about how to get started. And it's about an hour, and I think that is really helpful to give you the basics that you need and kind of get you launched a little bit. Then you'll also see a link there for free resources, and there's another video there tutorial called Creative Ways to Add Mastermind Groups to Your Revenue Model. That's more business strategy. It's more business model design. What are all the different kinds of mastermind groups you could create? What kind of pricing should you charge for it? How does that affect it? So that's an excellent video. Both of these are free, so feel free to pick those up. And then there's also a blog out there. So there's absolutely a ton of information on my blog that you can explore. And then, of course, I have classes. I have a class on facilitation. I have a class on marketing and filling your mastermind group. And then I have a 12-month mastermind group called Synergy for people who are mastermind group facilitators who want to be in a mastermind group with other mastermind group facilitators. So it's perfect.
I love it. What a great niche. It's a perfect focus.
I am so in love with mastermind groups. I would not be where I am today without being in a mastermind group. I can name two or three situations that happened in a mastermind group that changed the trajectory of my business tremendously. And so I'm just so passionate about this. And I want as many mastermind groups on the planet as possible because I think there is a movement out there to help people create more success, but we can't do it alone. So my desire is for more and more people to create whatever success they want in life and to get the help to do that. So for me, mastermind groups are the answer.
For me too. I love it. Thanks so much for sharing your brilliance, your wisdom, your magic with us today on the Amplify Your Success podcast. And I highly encourage you, if you're considering adding masterminding into your repertoire of offers, go check out Karen's free resources on thesuccessalliance.com. All of these links and also other ways to connect with Karen are on the show notes at melaniebenson.com/blog. And as we wrap up, you'll hear a little invitation to join us in my free group called the Amplify Your Success Community. It's a great place to tap into more of these experts, more of these resources, more innovative, creative ways to amplify your impact and your income. All right, we'll see you guys again next week. Thanks so much for joining in. Love hearing from you on the blog as well. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Amplify Your Success podcast with your host, Melanie Benson. Want to get connected to other thought leaders and visionaries transforming the world? Join the free Amplify Your Success community at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. And you can quickly find all the resources from today's episode on Melanie's blog at melaniebenson.com/blog. Just put today's episode number in the search bar. Now choose to get amplified today. See you next week.